2 Samuel 20:14 through 21. Now he went on through all the tribes of Israel to Abel, that is, Beth-Makkah, and all the Berites. And they assembled and went after him as well. And they came and besieged him in Abel-Beth-Makkah. And they built up an assault ramp against the city, and it stood against the outer rampart. And all the people who were with Joab were wreaking destruction in order to topple the wall. Then a wise woman called out from the city, "Listen, listen, please tell Joab, come here that I may speak with you." So he approached her. And the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your slave." And he said, "I am listening." Then she spoke, saying, "In the past they used to say, they will undoubtedly ask advice at Abel, and that is how they ended a dispute. I am one of those who are ready for peace and faithful in Israel. You are trying to destroy a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" Joab replied, "Far be it. Far be it from me that I would consume or destroy. Such is not the case. But a man from the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, has raised his hand against King David. Only turn him over, and I will depart from the city." And the woman said to Joab, "Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman wisely came to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, each to his tent. Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was in command of the entire army of Israel. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Sherethites and the Pelethites. And Adoram was over the forced labor. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was the secretary. And Sheva was scribe. And Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Ira, the Jairite, was also priest to David. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David sought the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, "It is because of Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not the sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. David said to the Gibeonites, "What should I do for you? And how can I make amends, so that you will bless the inheritance of the Lord?" Then the Gibeonites said to him, "For us it is not a matter of silver or gold with Saul, or his house, nor is it for us to put anyone to death in Israel." Nevertheless, David said, "I will do whatever you say." So they said to the king, "The man who destroyed us and who planned to eliminate us so that we would not exist within the border of Israel, let 7 men from his sons be given to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath of the Lord which was between them, between David and Saul's son, Jonathan. So the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, Armoni, and Mephibosheth, whom she had borne to Saul, and the 5 sons of Merib, the daughter of Saul, whom she had borne to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Then he handed them over to the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the mountain before the Lord, so that the 7 of them fell together, and they were put to death in the first days of harvest at the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock, from the beginning of harvest until it rained on them from the sky. And she allowed neither the birds of the sky to rest on them by day, nor the wild animals by night. When it was reported to David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done, then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan from the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead, who had stolen them from the public square of Beth Shan, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day the Philistines struck and killed Saul in Gilboa. He brought up from there the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. Then they buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the grave of his father Kish. So they did everything that the king commanded, and after that God responded to prayer for the land. Now when the Philistines were at war with Israel again, David went down and his servants with him. And when they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. Then Ishbi-benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, had strapped on a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "You shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel." Now it came about after this that there was war again with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai, the Hushathite, struck and killed Saph, who was among the descendants of the giant. And there was war again with the Philistines at Gob. And Elhanan, the son of Jeor-Orahim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was war at Gath again, where there was a man of great stature, who had 6 fingers on each hand, and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. And he also had been born to the giant. When he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck and killed him. These 4 were born to the giant at Gath, and they fell by the hand of David, by the hand of his servants. Luke 18. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not become discouraged, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God, and did not respect any person. Now there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me justice against my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God, nor respect any person, yet because this widow is bothering me, I will give her justice. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long for them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Now he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and viewed others with contempt. 2 men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and began praying in this regard to himself: "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, crooked, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to raise his eyes toward heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now they were bringing even their babies to him, so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for the little ones, saying, "Allow the children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And he said, All these things I have kept since my youth. Now when Jesus heard this, he said to him, One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess, and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, How hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard him said, And so who can be saved? But he said, The things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Peter said, Behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. And he said to them, Truly I say to you, there is not one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life. Now he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that have been written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and will be ridiculed, and abused, and spit upon. And after they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. The disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of the statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. Now, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a man who was blind was sitting by the road, begging. But when he heard a crowd going by, he began inquiring what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Regain your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. First John 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with my Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever follows his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says that he remains in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The one who says that he is in the light and yet hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother and sister remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause stumbling. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if it had been us, they would have remained with us, but they went out, so that it would be evident that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar except the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you remain in him. Now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not draw back from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness also has been born of him. Proverbs 22:11-21. One who loves purity of heart, and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend. The eyes of the Lord protect knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous person. The lazy one says, "There is a lion outside. I will be killed in the streets." The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. One who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. Extend your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, so that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, you indeed. Have I not written to you excellent things, of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, so that you may correctly answer him who sent you? Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been built as a city that is firmly joined together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, in ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones were set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls, and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.